Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast in which we analyze, scrutinize, and assistant art director Lydia Fries the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I don't know who I am or where I came from. What happened there, Pete?
We just found him in the studio here, but
you stumbled over that little intro joke a little bit.
I mean, but nobody heard that because I edited it out already. So it's gold. So the beauty of being the all powerful editor.
Well, I'll give you a clean one then. Great intro, Pete.
There you go. See, I left all the rest of that in though. So.
Well, now I feel like an ass.
That's the point. Well, welcome to...
Able to cut out that part because he said ass.
No, you can say that on TV now.
I think I said ass in my very first episode of Star Wars Minute.
You were just like, and I'm Ralph Atanasia from Ass.
Why don't we just start over again?
Today we're talking about Minute 130 of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. 130 starts with the... I had the credit for the first assistant director. I know yesterday you said we were going up to the second, but I'm going to back up and credit the first AD, Tommy Gormley. Mm-hmm. And goes all the way to concept model maker. I don't have a specific one listed for that.
That is a job that I would love to have had.
Honestly.
Building the models and stuff.
It was Neil Ellis.
That sounds great. I don't know if that's like concept model maker. I don't know if that's like the guys who do like the little concept sculptures and like kit bashes of spaceships and stuff. Because I know like
probably a computer.
Yeah, no, but like even as recently as that was 1999 when they were doing the Phantom Menace. Like they just had a bunch of like little sculpy maquettes, like just quick clay sketches of different aliens and things, and like George Lucas would come in and be like, I like that one, put the shell from that one on that one's head, that's going to be Dexter Jetster. So yeah. That's not the Phantom Menace, that's the second one. What's it called? The very worst one.
Mm-hmm.
Attack of the Clones.
No, Star Wars Episode 2, the very worst one.
Mm-hmm. Even with Episode 3, that was still happening too, as far as I know. He would just go through and he famously had the Fabuloso stamp.
Star Wars Episode 3. We're still making them.
But yeah, concept model maker. I guess that's...
If you guys have to have behind-the-scenes jobs, which jobs would you like to do? Or, okay. You know, Ben Burtt, too. I lent his job, too.
Yeah, I'm with you, Pete. Like, the concept model maker, that sounds great, especially for a sculptor like myself. That's what I do.
Yeah, you are probably the most qualified to be, out of the three of us, to be concept model maker. So
mm-hmm. I believe in you.
I will put that on my resume for concept model maker.
Did you guys ever build models when you were a kid?
Yeah, I poorly. I can't think of one that I finished completely.
See, I was not a big model maker. I bet I would like it now as an adult, but as a kid, I didn't do that. I had one ever, and it was Yoda's hut. I painted it very badly, and I thought it looked terrible, and it made me angry.
So you never did it again. Yeah, I think you'd probably be better at it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like doing all the stuff that like goes into model making now. Like, you know, like I do. I mean, I'm a big nerd, so I do a lot of like tabletop gaming, and so you know, like when you get your little miniatures that, like, especially if they're the Warhammer style ones, that they come all in pieces, and you got to pick like the arms and the swords and all the bits and put them on, and then you paint them up, and that's fun. For me, I have a very loose definition of fun.
See, I thought I would, I did. I was enjoying it. I got a model not too long ago. And I started to put it together, and I was this like, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to do, you know, and paint the individual pieces before I do it and do all the decals and all this stuff. And I had just, you know, did it for a couple of hours over the course of a weekend and didn't quite finish. You know, I was like, great, I'm going to put this away. I'm going to come back to it. This is going to be my project. And I never got back to it. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at. Although right now, from where I'm sitting, I just looked up, and on the shelf over there, there's a like original, like from Return of the Jedi Y-wing plastic model kit over there. So I should do that.
Totally should.
Yeah, I'll do it live on the air right now. Everybody, bear with me.
This is exciting.
No.
All right, so we're kind of at the end of the movie. We're in this sort of liminal space here, where like I guess we could talk about the credits, but I'm going to put that off for a little bit. What do you think of the updated old spaceships in this movie? Like, you know, the TIE fighters and the X-wings.
I'm on record as being disappointed in the Disney era spaceships. I think the modifications they've made on the classic designs, they're okay. They're, you know, interesting, but I would really like to see a lot more different new things rather than just slightly updated old versions. And the brand new things seem very boring to me so far.
I'm all the way with you on that.
Good.
Yeah,
because you're right.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I think you're right too, and handsome.
Aw, shucks.
I don't know. I like them.
Well, Pete, you're wrong. That's 10 points away from Pete.
Things that I don't like from this.
Yeah. I have a very complicated relationship with this movie. And the other movies in this like family of new movies.
Do you remember the first time you saw the film?
Oh, heck yeah, man. I had such a good time.
Did you tell us where and when?
Let's see. Well, I saw it when it came out. It was probably opening night at the theater in Jersey City, the Newport Lowe's. And I went to see it with a couple of my friends. Not a group that I normally would have gone with, but they were the ones who, like, it just, you know, sometimes the stars just align a certain way and you wind up with like a weird group. And I didn't think they were going to be that into it, but they lost their minds at that movie. And so that made it a lot more fun because they weren't my super nerdy friends. You know, they were like my normal people friends.
And they were still lost their minds.
Oh, they had so much fun. And that made it a lot of fun.
You know, they think about it, probably regular people probably enjoy it more because they don't get all hung up on, you know, who trained Ray and
we are cruel to our own kind.
That's how you sound. That's how you
talk. Yeah. Well, you got to be cruel to your kind. So I can do the same kind of old man jokes you guys do. Just say some words from something else.
Yeah. Everyone is too embarrassed to admit they don't know what we're talking about. So they just go, oh, yeah, I get it.
You like the robots from Mystery Science Theater.
Exactly.
Everyone pretends they get all those references, but they don't.
Well, speaking of old men and robots.
I'm sorry. That came out. I apologize. I was very rude to both of you just now, and I didn't mean to be. I was goofing around, and I took it too far.
That's it. You know what? I think we're going to have to cut it off. You're not invited back for tomorrow. I'm sorry. Well, maybe. We'll see.
I'm going to show up.
Whoa. Yeah, let's not get hasty.
The Speaking of old men and robots,
yes,
Kenny Baker is in there. There being the credits where he was listed as R2-D2 consultant.
Sad.
Although that's a job that I would kind of like. I wonder if it paid anything or if it's just credit that they were like, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure at this point he would much rather be the consultant than actually have to climb inside the machine, you know. just slow it back and forward a bit. You got it.
It's really not necessary to have him in there anymore either.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
it's just what the...
like, what does that look like? Something R2-D2 would do? I'm like, yep.
Mm-hmm. Great. Back in my day, we just crawled into these tubes all the time, get in the bin. That's what we did.
Sometimes leaving it 3-4 days.
It was one time they forgot I was in there, put an encyclopedia on top, couldn't get out. Was there for the whole weekend. Poor Kenny Baker.
Listed here, we see the Han Solo double, which is what I usually order at In-N-Out Burger.
Interesting.
H-A-A-N.
It's like Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah, this clone Han. Wow, good pull. Nicely done. 10 points.
Han Solo double Mike Massa. Massa?
Oh, Lordy.
Was a stuntman who he was the one who most fit his shape, who filled
Is he the same double that Harrison Ford had on Indiana Jones? The guy that he told, it's a good thing you can't talk.
Oh, it could be. Which Indiana Jones was that?
I don't know. Whoever his Indiana Jones stunt double is, like, you know, like in better shape than Harrison Ford, and he looks like Harrison Ford, but maybe like a little more handsomer. And, you know, he was just like, it's a really good thing for me that you can't deliver lines. I'm real good at half remembering things on this show, you guys.
I think I know what you're talking about, because in the making of Raiders, I think I remember seeing them joking around with a guy who looked, you know, I guess once you're in the Indiana Jones costume, also it's hard not to look like.
Right.
Yeah.
But I have to assume that guy is retired by now, the guy who did the stunts for Raiders.
Why? Harrison Ford isn't.
Well, if Raiders filmed in 1980, let's say.
Okay.
Mike Massa was 12 years old. So.
Okay.
That's him. That's why he couldn't deliver the lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say not the same guy.
Probably.
You know what, guys? I think we solved this one.
Case closed.
Everyone gets another 10 points.
He's, this guy, he stunt doubles Harrison Ford. He was stunt doubled for Chris Pine into Star Trek Into Darkness. He's like, they're like, well, we need a handsome guy. We need somebody to play, like, you know, the stunt version of a handsome guy.
What did Harrison Ford do that required stunts?
Well, I think for this, he was mainly like a body double because they wanted to film stuff around him.
Yeah. Also, okay. Like,
while he was, like,
when you're his age, running.
Yeah, I guess
pretty
so.
Much.
Like, I'm not saying that to be cruel. It just, things get harder as you get older.
Oh, tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe they did the sort of the Christopher Lee Count Dooku trick where they just had a stuntman wearing like a green screen hood and they just put Harrison Ford's head on it after the fact.
The old Dooku trick, eh?
No. Also, yeah, somebody pulled the old Dooku trick on me, and then I had to clean out the tank of my toilet.
That's so uncivilized.
Upper deck officer.
That's a really exceptionally bad and lowbrow joke, even for this show.
Possible.
There's also a series of a section of the credits, additional voices.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of the additional voices?
In addition to some, you know, Star Wars regulars.
That's the credit I'd like to have. I know you guys asked me that last episode. Additional voices. That's what I'd
do. What is people voting?
I would like to have subtractional voices. Where it's like,
Sebulba!
Yeah, if I was going to do an additional voice, it would have to be a line that stood out like that.
Right, yeah. Well, there's, in addition to some of the regular Star Wars people, like, I think you got your Sam Witwer, your Dave Filoni, who's normally not... what's the other... You got, you know, some of the, a lot of the voice people who do stuff on the Star Wars cartoons, but you also get your... Meredith Salinger, best known
daughter of J.D. Salinger.
Currently she's Mrs. Patton Oswalt. Originally she was Natty Gann and stuff like that. She was a child actor who, and also additional voice of one Kevin Smith in the film.
Not the Kevin Smith.
I'm assuming.
It must be others.
Now there are two of them.
oh, that's a bad world.
But yeah, those are the main things that I noticed from that. And then, of course, also in the credits, and this will continue. You'll be off the hook, Ralph. But as we make our way wade through the rest of the credits. I'm going to continue to point out people named Pete that I find.
I noticed your, oh, nope, never mind. I'm an idiot. I was going to point out your reference to Wade, but the character I'm in fact thinking of is Wald.
Yes. Wald Wilson, best known as Deadpool.
an old reference.
No, it's nonsense is what it was.
It was from a show that was on in between WKRP and
no, it's not Comfort. Pete, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to subtract a further 5 points from your score.
I wanted to point out art director. One of the art directors in the film is Peter Dorme, who was
Dorme
of Padme's handmaidens.
This one's a decoy.
Peter Dorme has worked on, he was like an assistant art director on a lot of things, like Guardians of the Galaxy, John Carter, Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber of Fleet Street. I couldn't even get that fully out of my mouth. He worked his way up. He was a draftsman on Attack of the Clones, set designer on Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Did lots of draftsman, worked on a bunch of Bond movies, GoldenEye, World Is Not Enough, stuff like that. But his credits go all the way back. He's at the wall. He, was listed uncredited, but worked on some of the model effects for Superman 2.
Oh, there we go.
Then he was a trainee model maker on Supergirl and a full member of the model unit for Spies Like Us. So,
Wow.
This Pete has that rare, he spans the original, like, you know, he's got his Superman, he's got his modern Star Wars, and he's got a bunch of Bonds. So,
it's a good, that's well spotted. Yeah. You found a real good Peter.
Hats off to Peter Dorme.
Just,
what do you think of Superman 2, Ralph?
Which Superman was that? That's not the one with Richard Pryor.
That's the one with General Zod, you know, Terrence Stamp.
Wait, well then who's in the first Superman? Oh, it's Gene Hackman.
Yeah, right. He's also in the second.
One and two were filmed kind of back to back and.
Yeah,
the same
part. I don't, as you can tell, I'm pretty hazy on those films.
It's okay, we can move on.
I'm not a huge Superman fan, so pass.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I listened to a real great episode of something. This is another thing I half remember. It might have been How Did This Get Made, when they were talking to the guy who plays the big Zod's burly enforcer, whose name I can't remember.
Like the bread, except different.
Sure. But yeah, No, but the stories from that guy are really great. This is not good content.
He was there too.
We like to talk about other podcasts on this podcast.
Any more any more Pete's you want out?
He was the only one that I found in this so far.
Oh, come on. Pull out another Peter.
There'll be I'm sure there'll be several coming up next week.
Yeah. It's definitely an animator's name.
As the print gets smaller, the names the names are more varied and plentiful.
It's funny you should mention the print being small, because when I was looking, trying to take my notes, I'm like, boy, this print is really small.
Yeah,
I said, I know what I'll do. I'll go to the IMDb and just look at the credits there. That way I don't have to worry about it, you know. And I got distracted because the IMDb also lists the uncredited actors in the movie, and so I thought it could be fun to go over some of the uncredited actors and the roles they played, if you'll indulge me. For a moment.
Absolutely.
Okay. But remind me when we're done with this that I want to talk about how frustrated I am with the silly rhyming names.
Which silly rhyming names?
No, remind me. We'll get back to it.
What are the rhyming names?
No, I was reading the...
It doesn't rhyme.
First of all, that gimmick is just ancient. It's like you guys and Ben Acker and Ben Blacker, like, come on.
They rhyme.
Yeah. They do rhyme.
So did Pete the Retailer and Alex Robinson.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Was that really what you were mad about?
No, it's just as I've expressed in earlier episodes this week, like everything in this movie is a nod to or a callback to or an echo of something in a previous Star Wars movie. Like down to the names of characters, because I was watching the credits, because that's what this minute is, and we get to Unkar Plutt and Tito in a role, like in a row, and I was just like, oh right, the fat crime boss in this instead of Jabba the Hutt is Unkar Plutt, and then there's like a kind of like alien that someone had, I did a curse, but yeah, there's some little pissant alien that somebody has to deal with who is, instead of being Greedo, is Tito. Like, it just, every single thing in this movie is like even obliquely, or even at least obliquely, a reference to something in a previous movie. It's the most infuriating thing about this film, which on the whole, I think is quite enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I hadn't thought about Unkar Plutt rhyming with Jabba the Hutt.
I didn't think about that either.
It's not like a big thing. It's just like, when you're looking for all the ways that this is the same as everything that came before it, you start just seeing more and more.
I had thought of Tito rhyming with Greedo because I think about everything through a lens of Greedo.
Yeah.
Through that Rodian lens.
Anyway, so you were saying a thing.
Oh yeah, the uncredited roles in the movie. David Collins plays the hangar officer. I was hoping a deck officer would show up, but none of the uncredited things. There's a bunch of officers, but not
deck officer. Deck. My goodness.
You got Natalie Kuzner. She played PZ Forcio.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, the robot with the long neck.
Yeah, the blue robot. Claire Glass played somebody called Friend of Big Toad.
Wait, was she like the sexy lady with the black fingers?
I do not know. The one hanging out with the big toad man.
Bazin Natal. Hang on. Bear with me for one sec.
Okay.
I'll bear with you. I'll badger with you. I'll give you a whole woodland menagerie right with you.
Bazin Natal. Behind the scenes. No, she was played by Anna Brewster.
Friend of Big Toe. Claire Glass.
Clear Glass?
A friend of...
Friend of Jan Brady. I'm not finding anything, so...
Very well, an actor then. By the name of Ewan McGregor shows up in the movie, as does another actor called Alec Guinness, both playing Obi-Wan Kenobi in the film.
I didn't see them in this.
I guess it's their voices they use when Rey's having her flashback scene.
Yeah.
To now, somebody named Tobias James Samuels plays something called the Funhouse Officer.
I'm sorry?
This,
according to the IMDb, there's a character in Star Wars who was identified as the Funhouse Officer.
We're being punked by your friend.
You went in earlier and you edited the IMDb.
It's entirely possible that someone is pulling our collective legs in this thing, but it's not me. Paul Casey. Paul Casey played our old friend Ello Asti.
Ello Asti, who dies and then gets replaced by an identical alien in the next movie.
He got Darren'd. That's a reference to Bewitched. It was
I got that one. But yeah, he just gets replaced by another alien, but that one doesn't talk regular. He talks weird.
Yeah. He also plays Radis in Rouge One, so keep an eye out for him next year. I guess later this year when we tackle Rouge One.
God, Radis is great. I mean, I assume. I haven't seen it yet. I'm watching the movies 1 minute at a time.
Aaron Kennedy plays the Cloaked Messenger. Do you remember a Cloaked Messenger in the movie?
What about
no.
that guy at the end that Ray gives a lightsaber to? Was that a Cloaked Messenger?
No, he was Cloaked, but Ray was the messenger, I would say.
You think he played Ray in that scene?
Maybe.
She's not wearing a cloak. Frank Oz plays Grover.
Of course.
Yeah. Also Miss Piggy.
Here's another great name. Elroy Spoonface Powell.
Wow.
Pardon me?
Elroy Spoonface Powell plays Rosalino.
That is the most... Elroy Spoonface Powell is the most old-timey name I have ever heard in my life.
It does sound like an old blues man.
Elroy Spoonface Powell is a name that, like, Mark Twain would have heard and said, I have to tone that down a little bit. No one's going to believe that.
He plays Rosarino. Do you remember who that is, Pete?
Yes, this came up I Googled him and the link was already clicked.
How do you even get a nickname when your first name is already Elroy?
Elroy Powell, better known by his stage name Spoonface, is a British singer, songwriter, producer, performer, and the voice behind Black Legend. He achieved international recording success as the voice of Black Legend, the voice of the Black Legend cover of the Barry White classic, You See the Trouble with Me. That's proved to be a hit record, reaching number one in the UK.
Good for him.
Etc. He's acted in stuff such as Trex and Flipside and Trouble TV's interactive game show Freakin' Famous.
Now, if you're looking for him in Star Wars, he is the guy with the big metal arm brace.
Right.
That I remember we commented on it at the time that it was an interesting looking character.
Okay, he's like in the background of Mass Castle.
Yeah, it's his castle. Mm-hmm. Spoonface. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Silva played a robot called ME8D9. I don't know which robot that is.
Wasn't ME8D9?
Was it
the one that
was it the like gold lady one
with the red
from
arm
from Maz's house?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. I think that is the Metropolis looking robot. So good job, Stephanie Silva. Jimmy V is credited as R2, so he must have been the one that was consulted by our old friend Kenny Baker.
Yeah, somebody, if you have a consultant, someone's got to be consulting them.
Yeah. Do you think Jimmy V and like the new Chewbacca, like, are all like, hey man, do you think they have a bond?
Junus?
Suotamo?
Is that him?
Oh, yeah. It's a, yeah,
I thought you were saying Judas, like you were.
That's what I thought.
No, ME8D9 is the robot we're talking about. It's the gold lady robot from Maz's house.
Gold lady robot.
Ralph, if you could have a robot with like a C-3PO type robot in your house, would you have one?
Yeah, I absolutely would.
Okay.
I also do not understand why he's so nervous.
Well, he gets his fingers cut off in that. Vampire.
They're
all fat now. They're taped on.
It's not a big deal. They could just lose parts. Swollen. Like you could take off his arm and replace it with a red one and it would be the same guy and it would be easily recognizable.
I think it's a different guy though.
I hate you both. But no, like he's a protocol droid, right? Mm-hmm. His purpose is to like smooth over social interactions. You'd think he would be cool.
I think part of the problem is that we always see him in situations that a protocol droid has no business being in.
But you'd think he would keep his cool. Like, the whole point is to, like, facilitate interaction between people, you know? And so, like, everybody's losing their minds, you know? Like, we're running around and there's a lot of trouble. You would think that he'd be like, you know what would be the right thing to do here? You're like, it doesn't make any damn sense.
If I may, he was built by a hyperactive 8-year-old. So
that's true. An evil 8-year-old.
Well, a potentially evil 8-year-old.
No, see, that's the other problem there, is that, like, at no point do we see the... I mean, we've been over this 100 times, I'm sure. But, like, at no point do we ever see the good guy who is a good friend that he was before he became Darth Vader. Like, it'd be one thing if he was Steve Rogers and then betrayed everyone and became Darth Vader. That's a tragedy. That kid is a from the first time we meet him.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, he was built by a little Damien Omen kind of kid. All right, now I take it back.
I never would have thought that, like, that Anakin had anything to do with, like, the programming of C-3PO. Like, I assume that once he found him in a garbage pile and just kind of built him, and then that's the personality and stuff was already kind of, like,
right,
preloaded.
Like, he had, like, the like, motherboard or whatever of, yeah. You know, like, the OS for your standard C-series.
Right.
God, I hate digging into this stuff. It's just exhausting.
Like, maybe Kitster did the programming. Like,
oh, yeah, there you go.
Building and Kitster did the programming or something like that.
The you last credit I have is for Kevin Cornwall, who played a character named Dirtiel Haza, who was a generic kind of backgroundy alien guy in Maz's castle. But he also played Sidon Athano.
Famous fancy red pirate Sidon Athano.
Yeah, he was one of my the breakout character of the movie. So good for
always
him.
Imagined if he could speak English, he'd sound just like Don Carnage from Tailspin.
I always thought he'd sound like Don Pardo from Saturday Night Live.
I always thought he'd sound like Don Knotts. What? Are you going with me to space?
Isn't it funny? I mean, his name is Sidon.
I can't see a thing on this helmet.
If you fans of his work should keep an eye out for The Last Jedi, in which he plays.
That joke is incredible, Mr. Limpet. He's talking to his friend with the peg leg who has to walk with a limp.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mr. Limpet.
Yeah. Got Goldie Potato Leg. What's his face? I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Queequeg or something. Quigold.
Quigold. I knew there was a gold in there.
So he also plays Pemmin Brunts, one of the security guards at the Canto Bight. So we can look forward to him.
All right.
In the next movie. Or sorry, two movies from now.
I look forward to finding out what Canto Bight is because I've been watching these movies 1 minute at a time along with the podcast.
Canto Bight is a Rodian bounty hunter. Oh, sorry. That's all I have for minute 130.
Canto Bight is a dental procedure.
Did you guys bring this up to me, or was this from... We were talking about how, like, in the expanded universe back in the day, they were like, oh, yeah, Rodians make great bounty hunters. They're all hunters, so they become bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing he's the worst at?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
I don't know if we talked about that specifically with you, but that is indeed true.
Yeah.
It's good for a Rodian, but not good for, like, other... like the...
Bothans are famously spies, and it's like, well, if they're known for it.
Right.
I thought you were going to talk about how Greedo was made into soup in the original EU.
That's right. He was made in, or he was made into alcohol by Wooer and a half C-3PO, half R2-D2 robot that he found.
Right.
Wow.
I don't, we're in a dark place, guys. I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's not. Come on.
Yeah. See, and that one, sorry, I have my longstanding problem with the naming scheme of the, which I think I brought up on this show before, is that there are only so many permutations of R, you know, R number / D number, whatever, for like that series of robots. And like, you know, like, but in that specific story that we were just referencing just now, he refers to a C-3PO. It's like, you sound like a C-3PO. Like, that's the model. That's like the make of that kind of robot. And that makes a lot more sense, because if they're all C-series droids and there are only three slots after that, there's just no friggin' way.
Well, no, there's also almost identical to C-3PO is K-3PO and R-3PO.
That's right.
So weirdly, there are probably even fewer permutations. Oh no, TC-14 eventually.
That's right.
All over the place.
Well, previously.
And TC-14 somehow predates C-3PO.
Yeah. We're getting back to math. I like it.
Like, these have to be just like the last few digits of a way longer serial number or something. And they're just like, no, this is about how much you get from each robot. So there could be like an R2-D2 that looks like R2-D2. And you could also have like a medical droid that looks like 2-1B whose assignation is R2-D2. But that's only because there's like 40 letters before that.
I think
we trying to make this work? The writers didn't try to make it work. Why are we doing it now all these years later?
I think it's like if C-3PO was an iPhone, he would say, "Hello, I'm the Macintosh iPhone. I'm your, you know, like I think they all identify by themselves by basically their brand name."
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. Story makes it sound as though C-3PO is the model that he is, and that there are a bunch of other C-3PO.
Yeah, that's what I think is the case. Which is why when Uncle Owen sees C-3PO and R2, he's not like, hey, wait a minute. You know, he's just like, oh, this is just another one of those C-3PO droids.
Yeah, but...
But I think it's more like, I don't know. I think it's almost more like a name. Like, sometimes...
it becomes a name because that's how they identify themselves, but it's not like
sometimes you just, two Jennifer Nelsons, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
It's like, so it's not like, all women are named Jennifer Nelson. It's just like, I happen to know two different ones.
Right. But if you like went to the factory, you could meet like 1,000 C-3PO's because they would all be.
You were going
to
say Jennifer Nelson.
Yeah.
I went to the Jennifer Nelson factory and I met.
I went out to the J-Nel factory
and Camino.
Right.
I hope you had a big pocketbook.
Dexter Jester is a good character and not a bad character. The end.
Agreed.
Again, that's the place to put that is at the end of a. Last 5 minutes of a podcast.
maybe you should name the episode that so everyone will know. And,
I might name it the Jennifer Nelson Factory.
Yeah,
perfect. Maybe one of the.
It sounds like a band.
Yeah.
The Jennifer Nelson Explosion.
Yeah, well, I was just going to, damn it. It's like the follow-up band to the Jennifer Nelson Experience, and then it's the Jennifer Nelson Factory, the Jennifer Nelson Explosion.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, Jennifer Nelson wasn't in any of the bands after the Experience.
Well, that's the irony. It's like Pink Floyd. It's like there's no real Jennifer Nelson. It's just the name of the band. Well, that's all I have. That's the end of my little featurette about uncredited players.
This was a good episode, you guys.
Ralph, thank you for being with us all week.
Hey, you know what? That's okay.
And as they said, as we said, as you said, as everybody said, people can find you at Cake Boss Ralph on the internet things. They can watch
that's
you
true.
On TV. Versing... helping yeah. Buddy versus
Jeff. Yeah, I think by the time this is out, the show will almost certainly have ended,
but it's still out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. You watch Buddy versus Duff, where me and my boss Buddy Velastro, the Cake Boss, go up against Duff Goldman from Ace of Cakes and his able assistant Jeff Manthorn, as we see who is the most best at doing cakes.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Duff from Guns N' Roses. Right.
It is.
I thought it was the MTV VJ, Karen Duffy.
That's correct. It's Buddy versus Duffs. It's just a whole bunch of them. It's also versus the beer from The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's filmed in Duff Gardens.
Yeah.
Now, is Willie Ames from Charles in Charge involved?
Yes.
But of course.
On that note... hey, you out there, why not, let's say, go buy some t-shirts. How about that?
Yeah, and if you like this episode, why don't you tell some friends to listen to the show? That don't cost you nothing. Don't be rude.
That's even better. All right, so first of all, here's the plan. Go buy a t-shirt. Go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch, MERCH. buy a t-shirt, wear it around. People will be like, what the hell is that? What is that on your shirt? Like,
yeah,
oh,
get a Bespin Falling t-shirt or a Bad Motivators one.
Yeah. One of our best sellers, Bad Motivator.
It's not just t-shirts. You could get mugs or pillows. Mm-hmm. I got a pillow. I got a pillow from TeePublic.
Really?
Good stuff.
I don't know if you guys still sell them, but I have some lovely Star Wars Minute whiskey glasses, like Collins glasses. What are they?
They're never for sale.
Those are limited edition.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Screw all of you, dear listeners.
Exclusives.
But the go do that stuff, wear it around. People say, what is that? You say Star Wars Minute. You tell them. Rate, review, subscribe, share, all that stuff. Good stuff. Let's make sure everybody listens to the show. So when you say, like, oh, it's Star Wars Minute, they'll be like, I know. God.
And then all your friends will say them in unison.
Mm-hmm. And they'll say, come back for another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute, like that.
Star Trek Beyond! Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Wait. I was thinking of the wrong song.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.